Well, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll start with the 28th verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of the Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the encouragement that You give us here. Lord, we ask You to send Your Holy Spirit to open up these words to us, to show us how to apply them and live them out in our lives today. Lord, show us how these words are living and new, fresh, yet this morning and every morning. Father, I pray that Your anointing would be upon me this morning, that as I speak, it would be Your truth and Your name which is lifted up and glorified, that Your people would be encouraged and You would be held forth as the source of all good things, of hope and salvation and love. Lord, might Your people be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a familiar passage to many of us. Certainly one that you've probably heard something about at one point or time or another. We have this phrase here that we start off with, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Particularly, Paul is referring to the difficulties and troubles people are going through. Anybody ever go through a difficult time or trouble, and then in the end found out it was better for you that you had? You were better for it, even though at the time you wanted out of the trouble or the problem? See, the enemy will bring these things against us, but the Lord will use even his attacks for our benefit. He will use those things to bless us, to conform us more to the image of Christ, to refine us. Like the refiner's fire. Refining isn't a comfortable process, but it's very necessary to the creating of fine metal. This is what we're going through. As we go through these things, God is with us, and He is doing these things. And He's doing this For what reason? He's doing it because He's called us. Who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that the firstborn may be brothers. And that those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. This section here gets into this whole idea of predestination. Get stuff in my walkway, Butch. God calls and predestines. And this is a complex theological issue that there's people on both sides of the aisle arguing about. And I think I want to tell you here that there's some basics that nobody's who's really believing that this is the Word of God is arguing about. First off, does God know who is going to be saved and who is not? The answer is yes. Is God all-powerful? The answer is yes. Does God love you? The answer is yes. Does God love all of creation? The answer is yes. Now we come into this whole very difficult issue of election and predestination, and why did God save these people and not those people? Because there's one school of thought that says that predestination, this foreknowing, is God says, I love this person and I'm going to save him. And I love this person, but I'm not going to save him. Now, I don't believe God says that. I believe that God creates each of us and gives us free will. We need to read the entirety of God's Word and take them all together. See, we have passages which seemingly are contradictory. We have these passages that says that God called us, that He foreknew us, that He predestined us. But we have passages that say that we must choose, we must receive. We must believe. There are some things that are incumbent upon us. How do we reconcile these? It's not easy. And I don't want to presume to be the one who has necessarily the perfectly right answer. I will tell you what I think the Scripture is saying here. It's incumbent upon you to read this yourself and read the entirety of God's Word and make sure that I'm not out of line. And if you think I am, you need to bring it to my attention. You need to say, Pastor, how did you get that? And if I can't show you to your satisfaction, you need to tell me so. And maybe I'm not right. It wouldn't be the first time. Just ask Donna. Now, I believe what this is telling us is that, let's just walk through it. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. We look at that. God created us and He gave us each one the ability to know Him and love Him. Some have chosen to do so. Some have not. But all who chose to do so, and who will choose to do so, God knows who they are. God is not restrained by time the way you and I. He's looking at us. As we're talking about this, He's talking about you and I and all of future, and He's talking in the past tense. As this has already happened. It's a done deal. And to God it is. It is a done deal. He's already foreknown. He's already predestined. He's already saved. He's already received. It's done. The battle's been won. We just need to live it out yet in our lives. So how does this work? Again, I caution you here, as these are, you will not find any straightforward words that say exactly what I'm going to tell you here. I'm looking at Scripture, and this is what I'm thinking when I put it all together, what it's saying. I ask you to read it for yourselves. But I believe that just as I know my children, and for that matter, I know Emmett. I'm going to pick on Emmett. He's safe. I can run faster than him. God foreknew that Emmett would choose him. Just as I foreknow that at the next Friendship Club, they're going to have dessert. Emmett will choose not to have the rhubarb pie. I foreknew this. Why did I foreknow this? Because I know Emmett. Emmett hates rhubarb. He doesn't want it. He won't take it. He will starve to death before he eats rhubarb. He's just not going to eat rhubarb. God knew Emmett would choose to love him. Because God has given Emmett free will to receive salvation, to believe or not to believe, to receive or not to receive. Now some will say that is taking away from the sovereignty of God. How does it take away from the sovereignty of a parent when they say to their child, I give you a choice? That is the sovereignty of the parent, and that is the sovereignty of God. God gives us that choice. Now, we don't do anything to be deserving of salvation. We don't do anything that earns us salvation. It's free and available for all who will do the exact same thing, that is, receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it is equally there for those who are heinous as it is for those who are saintly. Whether your name is Adolf Hitler or Mother Teresa, salvation is equally there and available for you. However, I find it unlikely that Adolf Hitler said, you know, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to turn from my sin and follow you. Will you truly be my Lord and Savior? I kind of doubt he did that. I don't know. I don't. All I can do is look at the track record of his life and say, I'm not seeing it happening in the last moments. Mother Teresa, she spent her entire life seeking to be the hands of Christ to the unlovely, the unwanted, for the people of India. She professed Christ as her Lord and Savior. When we look at her life, I think we see it. Now, which one is sovereign? Which one makes God out to be the sovereign Lord? The one where the Lord says, I give you, my child, a choice to love me or not to love me. Or where He comes forward and says, I choose you to love me and I choose you to hate me. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see it to be conforming to the will of God, to the Word of God. You see, even those children which hate God, God still loves. All of them. Even the ones who rebel. Now, He's a just God, and He will provide just punishment for those who rebel. He will shut them from His presence for all of eternity, not because He hates them, but that is what they've chosen. What can we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, God is for us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. He paid that ultimate price. So that salvation is available for all. And if we've received Him as our Lord and Savior, we've received the Holy Spirit into our heart, the seal, the promise of what's coming. And He's going to fulfill that in every detail. We know that He's already bought the new car. He's not going to say, you know what, give me the new car, but don't put any wheels on it. He's going to say, no, put four wheels on it. That's what it needs. You know, and it's a new expensive car. Let's put good wheels on it. After all, what good is an expensive car if you put cheap wheels on it? Not any good at all, because it won't run very well, because you'll probably overpower it and crash the thing. Lose traction. You see, God has done all this for us. So He's not going to shortchange us by not completing it. What's the complete it? Well, that's the part where we go to heaven. That's the part where we receive new bodies. That's the part where we are fully conformed to the image of Christ, where right now, quite frankly, I am not. Working on it. Lord's working on me. But, yeah, I'm not there yet. Who's going to bring a charge against us? After all, He's the judge. We find that the judge Himself is the one who died on the cross for us, the one who's interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. See that there is no just judgment against us. There is not going to be condemnation against us. We see this, and we know now that we cannot be separated from the love of God, from the love of Christ. So back to predestination. God foreknew. That doesn't mean what some people think it means. Doesn't mean that he said, well, I see in the far distance. God has been there. God knows. He predestined. Literally, it means he caused things to come into place so that we would make a certain decision. If I want to choose what dessert Emmett's going to have at Friendship Club, I can make sure all the desserts but one are rhubarb. We're going to have rhubarb tort, we're going to have rhubarb pie, we're going to have rhubarb slushies, we're going to have... And we're going to have chocolate cake. Emmett, which one are you going to have? Cake. I knew that. I predestined it by making sure that all the desserts were going to be the ones that led to him making that right decision of cake. Personally, I like rhubarb. Emmett doesn't. But you see the point. It's not that rhubarb is bad or evil and chocolate cake is good. Okay. The point is that God is sovereign. That God does have control of the universe. And in His sovereign will, He has said, you and I have a choice. But once we make that choice, there is none, no power that can take us away, that can separate us from Him. Honestly, the truth is, there's no power that can take away the love of God even for those who don't receive Him. Because God will still love him. But what this is talking about is that there is no power that can remove us from God's grace. That of salvation. That of redemption. That of being returned as a child of God. Instead of being rebellion, we are in fellowship. Even when we face the difficulties, even when you face death all day long and are considered a sheep to be slaughtered, even if we've got angels and we've got powers and we've got heights and depths and all sorts of things coming at us, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. See, we have been made one. It's a spiritual thing. It's kind of somewhat confusing sometimes. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, and Christ comes to live within us, we are made one in the Spirit with the Lord. We're not always following it real well. He likens the church as to a bride. And He is the husband. And we are to be one mind, one body, one flesh with Him. That's all a spiritual picture there. But that's who and what we are. We become God's, a part of His family, and we just can't be broken away. Nothing can tear us away. God is for us. Doesn't matter who's against us. They cannot, no matter what they do, remove you from God's love. It's not going to happen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have provided for us words of encouragement that tell us that no matter what difficulty we face, we who have received you as our Lord and Savior face it with you together. And that there is none that can come and say a word against us that you will take into account. For you have forgiven us of all our sin. And you have granted us redemption and covered us with the righteousness of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would conform us more this day and each day to the image of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would give us confidence and faith in you and your love for us. And that in all things, when we come to those times of trials, we might lean on you and seek to find that benefit you have for us. That you will bring out of the attacks that the enemy brings against us. Lord, might we be brought closer to you in all things, because we know we cannot be broken away from you in anything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.